Speech in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I've waited 2 years to be able to shout that in a church. Last year I shouted it outside in the parking lot, and my voice just doesn't carry as well without being mic'd. Today is the day of Easter Sunday. It's the day that we set aside to remember and honor Christ's resurrection. Presiding Bishop Michael Curry, who is in charge of the Episcopal Church in North America, he is like the equivalent of the Archbishop of Canterbury, if you follow the Church of England. He says that we are resurrection people. And he says that because he lives into this notion that Easter Sunday is the most important day in the church year. But is it the most important day in the church year? Theologians like to get together and debate just about every point there is. And a common debate is, what is the most important day? And there are kind of four dates that are in contention. Is Christmas Day the most important day, the day when Jesus was born? Because if Jesus wasn't born, if Mary hadn't said yes, then none of the other parts of the story would have happened. Easter is clearly a fundamental and important date in the story. Is it Good Friday, the day in which Jesus was crucified and hung on the cross? Because if Jesus didn't die, then the resurrection could never happen, right? Is it Pentecost, the day of the calling down of the Holy Spirit when the church is founded? A very underappreciated holiday in the church year. Is that the most important day in the church year? Or is it, in fact, Easter Sunday? And in the Episcopal Church, you can find someone who will argue all 4 points and people who will passionately agree with all 4 points. And so if you find yourself wanting to passionately debate one of those points, by all means, you will be in a camp of people full of that. But the majority of theologians come down and say that Easter Sunday, the day of Jesus' resurrection, that is the most important day. Why? Because without the resurrection, the rest of it is just a good story. And don't get me wrong, it is a good story. But is it the kind of story that you change your life for? Is it the kind of story that you would be willing to die for? If we just have a cute little baby who's born to humble means in a stable and lives in Galilee, and he does some great, wonderful prophetic ministry for 3 years and then has an absolute tragic death, and that's the end of the story, is that the kind of story that you would lay down your life for? Because there are people all throughout the world that do, in fact, lay down their lives. We still have martyrs, people who are persecuted because of their faith in this world today, and our church was founded on martyrs. Is that the kind of story that you would be willing to lay down your life for? Easter becomes the most important day because it is about the resurrection. It says that death does not get the last word. And not just death, death in the mortal sense, but not just that. All of our darkness and our despair and our hardships and our suffering, none of that gets the last word. Because what comes after that is always resurrection. A few years ago, someone once asked me if they could celebrate Easter. They had gone through a really particularly painful Lent, and they had lost someone very dear to them. And they said to me, "I don't feel like Easter is for me this year. And quite frankly, I don't want to come to church and celebrate with all of these really joyous people." Because it is a day of celebration. It is a feast day, and we celebrate, and we say, "Alleluia, Christ is risen," and we are extremely joyous. And this person said, "I don't feel like I can do that. I can't be surrounded by all of these happy people." And maybe that's you today. Maybe it's not. Maybe you have come, and you have unbridled joy, and you feel like today is just a summation of everything that has gone right in your life. And if that is you, where you come with extreme, wonderful, unbridled joy, I want to say thank you. Thank you for holding that for us, especially for the people who it is different for. And if you have come here today and you think, "I don't feel very joyous, and I don't really know if I can celebrate Easter because life has been particularly cruel and hard," I would like to remind you of Mary Magdalene, who we heard about in our gospel reading today. Mary and the women go to the tomb early on the first day of the week, meaning Sunday morning, before the sun has risen. They go early in the morning carrying spices to preserve Jesus' body in death. They went there expecting to find a dead Jesus in a tomb. They went there in grief and sorrow and mourning. Not one of them went there in joy. They all went because Jesus had died. And when Mary gets to the tomb, she notices that the stone is rolled away and she sees that it's empty. And she runs back and she tells the disciples. And we're told that Peter and another unnamed disciple run as well, and they run to the tomb. And they also see the linen wrappings lying there, and they look in, and then they just leave. The disciples just leave. A good part of the resurrection story is the disciples fleeing and leaving. We're going to see that throughout the Easter season. The disciples are often difficult to find. But Mary remains at the tomb weeping. She is not joyous. She is mourning. Her friend, her beloved teacher, has died, and now she has no idea where the body is. How is she supposed to pay tribute to him? How is she supposed to mourn his death when she can't find the body? And then she's asked by this gardener, who ends up being Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. The gardener says, "Why are you weeping?" And she yells at him. She says, "Where have you taken the body? If you have taken it, just tell me, and I will take it." And I love her purely emotional response. Because there is zero rationale in Mary Magdalene's response here. She doesn't stop for one moment to say, where am I going to take this body? I clearly can't bring it back to this tomb that was just robbed. Where am I going to take this body? Nor does she say, how? How am I going to take this body? If the gardener says, here's Jesus' body, what is her plan? She is not going to be able to lift it. Bodies are heavy. They're called dead weight for a reason. What is her plan here? She has not thought this through. She has a purely emotional response because she loves Jesus so much. And I'm sure that if the gardener had produced Jesus' body, she was determined enough to figure out what would happen with it. But instead, what happens is Jesus responds to her by calling her name. He says, Mary. He doesn't say, it's me, Jesus, I'm risen. He says, Mary. And she hears the name that she has probably heard him say time and time and time again throughout her life. She hears a familiar, gentle, loving voice calling her by name. And in that moment, she stops, she recognizes, and she says, Rabuni, which means teacher. Mary recognized that it was Jesus because he called her by name. And then the gospel story ends with Mary going back to the disciples and telling them what she had seen. It ends with evangelism. And evangelism is a word that pretty much everyone in the church is slightly terrified of, because you think I'm going to ask you to go out of these doors and knock on everybody's door and tell them the things that I've told you today. And I assure you, I'm not actually going to do that. However, if that sounds fun, by all means, go ahead and do that. But evangelism means spreading the good news. Essentially, it means doing what Mary did. Mary returned to her home and her community and told them the good news. She did not keep it in. There's a famous quote that says, people will know you are Christians by the love that you give to other people. They'll know you are Christians by the love. The best way that we can do evangelism is to love people like Jesus loved people, to treat them with kindness and dignity and respect, to do all of the things that Jesus taught us to do. The best way we can honor what Jesus did is to evangelize to people through our lives. Speak the gospel to the whole world, and if necessary, use words, meaning that 90% of the time it's not necessary to use words. That's the challenge part of Easter. It gives us something to do. But the other part of Easter is the promise. And the Easter promise was as true on Easter morning when Mary Magdalene found the tomb empty as it is today. And the Easter promise is that death and darkness and despair and anguish, none of that has the final word. It always ends in resurrection. And sometimes those two events, the tragedy and the resurrection, are very far apart. And sometimes it feels like you're never going to get to the resurrection. But the Bible tells us that there will come a time where pain and grief are more manageable. Not that they go away, that they are more manageable to deal with. There comes a time when the resurrection part of our story is bigger than the tragedy part of our story. And the second really big promise that Easter gives is that when we die, or almost more importantly to us, when the people we love more than anything else in this world die, that is not the end of their story either. Their tomb is just as empty as Jesus' tomb is this morning. And there is absolutely nothing that will keep that stone from rolling away. Amen.